The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Intimidated because I'm using big words. He thinks I'm pedagogically magniloquent or something. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. I just signed up. Well, this was, oh my. I re-signed. I had to re-sign. I signed up about a year ago. Support group for procrastinators. We have not met yet. But that was only a year ago. Eventually, we'll get to it. My wife says, I procrastinate. I said, oh, yeah. She goes, you procrastinate, Ray, and you'll never get anything accomplished. I said, yeah, just wait. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. My crew, it isn't my crew, it's my associates, Andrew Crew. Oh, that's a good way to put that. Crew check. That's what I ought to do more often. I ought to do a crew check to see if they're doing their jobs. He's the producer man there in Ann Arbor, along with Eric Dumont, who is the call screamer. That's the person who answers the phone, says, the doctor is in. He's lying. I'm not there. I'm here in Canton, Ohio. They're in Ann Arbor. This is a co-production with EWTN. The number to call, 877-573-7825, 877-57, equal, is the acronymically parallel to it. If you wish to get on the phone to ask a question about something in your life, something in somebody else's life, to offer a thought, a piece of guidance for someone else that might have called the program that you think I stumbled badly in giving any kind of useful direction. If you have a generic question, Cindy from Bismarck often calls with a generic question, and they're good ones. They're really good ones. She steals them from my books, and I use it as a shameless publicity plug. 877-573-7825. They put a very large font here up on the computer screen. It says old people font, so you can see it better. Is this the font you use for Teresa Tomeo, or do you have to use a bigger one? 877-57-EQUAL. Okay, that's enough of the number. You should have it. You should have it for emergency purposes on your refrigerator. Bedpost, kid comes in the middle of the night, or back of the toilet. You want a really hard question to ask yourself? It's one that we naturally avoid. It's one that I have to force myself to ask myself. It doesn't come easily. However, I think it's one of the best questions to ask ourselves for personal growth, for growth closer to Christ. The question is this. Is it true? And Dr. Ray, what do you mean, is it true? What are you talking about? That Mars is a planet that is somewhat similar to Earth? Is it true? The speed of light is 186,200 miles a second. Is it true? No. I'm talking about self-assessment. If you're like me, you reasonably regularly hear people telling you things about yourself that you don't want to hear, or that your instinctive response is, I don't agree with this, or why would they say that? Maybe they had to look at themselves, huh? The first reaction to hearing anything that smells critical, that sounds like we might be falling short in our virtue pursuit, first reaction is defensiveness. Even if you're not a defensive person, first reaction is probably not to ask the question, is it true? That's really the only question you have to ask yourself. It dwarfs the importance of all other questions. Is it true? Now, you may quickly decide it's not. You may say to yourself, this person has said so many critical things about me, I don't give them any credibility whatsoever. All right. Possible. How do you actually self-assess? By definition, we are subjective. I'm not objective about me. I'm subjective. Of course. How can I be anything else? I guess to move from subjective to objective, I have to make myself think about what the person said about me. If you've listened to this show any length of time, and to listen to this show any length of time, it's like 2.5 minutes. We count that as any length of time. I can say to people, I have listeners that listen long times. 2.5 minutes. So, given that, you've heard me say many, many times, you can't be upset by what people say if you know by their personality that's the way they are, and they are critical, or they are snarky, or they are opinionated, etc. However, there is a balance. The balance is, especially if this comes from someone that you love and respect, is what they are saying accurate? Is it true? Do you do that? Do you come across that way? Let's say somebody accuses you of being hyper-pious. It's easy to do, you know. It's very easy to do. We have a sense of wanting to be worshipful, respectful, somber even in our actions. And we can come off quite a bit different than those around us. A small example. In my diocese, the bishop says, I don't want to digress too far in this, I'm going to get away from my original thoughts. The bishop says that the proper posture for receiving Holy Communion is standing. There are those people who kneel. Now, in their minds, it is a holy expression. They think that on your knees is much more of a position of respect, meekness, humility, etc., submission. Okay. But the bishop said the recommended posture is standing. So the bishop said. So when one kneels and someone says, yeah, that just kind of comes across hyper-pious. What are you trying to say here? Okay. Now the person might say, I'm not trying to say anything. I am just, in fact, following my instincts and my desire to show the Lord how much I truly am submitting and respectful and grateful to be receiving Holy Communion. Okay. You can say that. But did you, in fact, look at your own motive? Did you say, is there any part of me that really does kind of want to stand out religious-wise, you know? When I levitate, I try to do it in private so nobody can see me. I don't want to levitate in a crowd. If I do that and I'm 2, 3, 4, 5 feet off the ground, that's pretty showy. You know, it is. And I used to try to time my levitation for basketball games, but I couldn't come down and I got called for traveling. I thought, how can you call me for traveling? I didn't take 2 steps. The question, is it true, is one of the toughest questions for people to ask themselves on their way to being a better person, a holier person, a kinder person, a more charitable person, a better disciple. Is it true? I don't like to ask myself that question. I'll give you just a small example before I go. There are folks, now I know it's going to be hard to believe, but I have gotten feedback from folks that says, you know, you can be sarcastic. Or, wow, when I first listened to you, I thought, who is this dude? Who's this guy? Because they had an image of what a Catholic radio host is supposed to be like. A little softer, Not as Italian-like in my expressivity. Not as intense. Okay. I had to ask myself, and I asked my wife, too, because I trust her a lot. Am I doing that? Are there times when it comes across that way? Now, I may say to myself, well, I don't intend that. Well, that's no, that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant, what I intend. Is it coming across that way? Is it true? Now, I couldn't go out and take a poll of all 147 of my listeners and say, what do you think? No, I had to just do my very, very, very best to honestly look at myself and say, is there merit to what they are saying? And if so, I better do something about it. Instead, I wrote him an email. And I said, so you think I'm sarcastic? Yeah, right. I'm Dr. Ray.
Did you hear anything?
I thought I did. Don't like hearing noises.
Oh, hi, Dr. Ray.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org. I spent half my life not coming to a conclusion, because I don't know. Good to have you with me. Thank you so very much. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. I'm the only host in all of Catholic Radio who can take days off your purgatory, because I can be irritating to listen to. Okay. Anne has patiently waited. Anne from Queen of Peace Radio, Jacksonville, Florida. Anne has taken something real personal. That's always a way to feel bad. Hi, Anne.
Hey, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Okay. So who doesn't want to be around you, dear lady?
Well, my daughter-in-law. My stepdaughter. So my husband and I both went through annulments, and were married in the Catholic Church. I'm a cradle Catholic. I have two sons who are all grown adults who are very close to my husband and I. We're very open. It's a very transparent relationship. It's just, we talk about everything, and it's just, that's how I raise my boys. His daughter, on the other hand, was raised by her mother, no fault of my husband's. And it was a very distress, for want of a better word, relationship. Throughout the years I've been married to my husband, I've nursed him through wounds with her numerous times. And so they came to visit with us. We opened the doors wide, poured out our love to them, and they really liked that. So they went back to their home state, and my husband received a text message. And basically it was, I want to ask you something, but I don't want you to be upset with me. So we decided long ago that we're not dealing with text message. We're just going to call and ask nicely what she wants. So he did. And she said, I want you to come to visit with me in my home state, but I just want you. I don't want he. And she mentioned my name. And so my husband said, well, I don't think it's right. She would, Anne will be really upset, but let me talk with her. And first of all, I can't even believe he said he would even contemplate going. But we talked about it. We prayed about it. And we decided as a couple, actually he decided, that we are married. We're united with God. We're very involved with our church. We're just involved with a lot of things. And we just are not going to go alone. And so
okay, Anne, let me jump in. I know you're giving a lot of details, and I think I understand the situation. Let me jump in.
Okay.
One, you don't have to answer these questions. I'm just going to give them to you rhetorically. Does it surprise you that this stepdaughter, who has had a history of wanting to have troubles with her father, would also have trouble with you? That's one. Two, you probably, are you not aware that living with her mother, probably the mother poisoned her attitude toward you. You are the interloper. You are the woman who stepped in and married her dad. That's two. Three, this is the big one, Anne. I really would rethink you and your husband's decision not to let him go. For a number of reasons. One, that is his daughter. And even though her request strikes you as unfair, unfeeling, it's still his daughter. And you would be charitable to him to say, no, you go. You go. That's okay. I'm not going to take this personally. You go. Okay, I'd say that. For this reason, if you're going to have a chance to have some kind of relationship with her, as you tried to do, then he's got to have a relationship with her. And if he says to her, you don't invite Anne, you don't see me, what she's likely to do is to cut you both off. And that's not going to get you anywhere. So, to soften her, I would suggest to your husband, please, you go. No, you go. That's okay. I'm not going to sit here. I understand what's going on. I can't expect this girl who was raised by her birth mom, and we know that was trouble, to think charitably. She probably doesn't even have any religion. So you don't expect that of her. Okay, gotcha. So why are you expecting her to respect you? I don't expect it. So tell your husband, you go. Also, recognize that there's no reflection on you. She probably has bad feelings towards you because of what she's been told by her mother, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Unless, now there's one other thing, and I'm not going to even chase this, Anne. Unless you have to ask yourself the tough question, whatever her objections are about me, are they true? That's all you have to ask yourself.
I don't really think it's about me, because I can tell you I did pray about it, and I did say to him, I did say he could go. I did say that at the beginning,
the intent
was for him to go and have one-on-one time with her, and I want that to happen.
Good.
But it changed, and this is the part that you don't know. It changed. I changed my attitude because it was her and him one-on-one, perfect. That I said, yes. I even wrote her a text message.
All right, hold on. Now we're getting into details again, and I'm going to have to cut you off here because I got a lot of people waiting. First of all, Eva, it didn't change. It didn't change at all. Your intent was that your husband should go because he could have one-on-one time. Change your intent. Your intent should be you go because you're her father. And whether there are other people there or not, and you don't have one-on-one time or not, your goal is to keep the relationship with your daughter so that not only does it damage, not damage it for you, but it makes it more possible that at some point we will have a civilized truce to this whole thing. That would be my suggestion. Thanks, Ann. Thank you so much for calling. Kathy from Ohio emailed me about one of my podcasts. Didn't even know I had those. I don't even know what those are, apparently. And I said, all right, Kathy, give me a call because I can talk a lot faster than I can type. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Oh, thank you so much. When I wrote to the website, I didn't think it was I could get a response from you. I thought it'd be somebody on your staff.
I have people.
There are a couple
Kathy,
people in my family
Kathy,
right now that could I am really so benefit
Kathy,
chess game where God always wins.
I was going
to
say
I'd
something.
I'd be able
but
to
not
play
allowed.
It back to them if you talked about it on the radio quickly today or whenever
okay.
you can.
Sure. What do you want me to do?
If you feel like it's important enough to give it airtime today, that'd be fine. Otherwise, I'll just keep continuing to listen until I hear it again.
What was it, Kathy?
It was you talked about when you play chess.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. It was people say that God is in charge of everything, and it's going to work out the way God wishes it to work out, his will. However, how do you reconcile that with free will? I have free will. God allows me to make choices. So how then can he work it out in the context of the choices I make? If I make those choices, he's stuck. Not necessarily so. Let's view it as a chess game. Life is a chess game. Anybody who knows chess knows there are countless billions of moves a person can make possible in any chess game. Billions. And if I were to play God in chess, he would not control the moves I make. I can make any move I want. I could make grand master moves. One thing is for sure. The outcome is going to be the way God wishes it to be. He will win the game. No matter what moves I make, he has moves in response. So he gives me free will. I can do all kinds of things. However, his moves in response will make the outcome as he wishes, which is he wins. How's that, Kathy? That better?
Thank you.
You are
Thanks
welcome.
So much.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Kathy emailed me, and she said, I was listening to your podcast, and I don't remember when you said that. I wanted to explain it to my friends and relatives, and I don't know where it is. And I said, I don't know where it is either. I mean, listening to my show one time is enough for me. People will come up to me at talks and say, I listen to you every day. And I say, I don't listen to me every day. So she said, can you help me find it? And I said, it'd be easier if you just called in and I'll try to do it again. All right. About 20 seconds here. We got a hard break. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray. Program The Doctor Is In. It is a cooperative effort between Ave Maria Radio Communications in Ann Arbor and the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. They join hands and argue about whether I should be on the air. But so far, they haven't found anybody to fill this spot. So I'm still here. I'm Dr. Ray.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge that and to say, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
completely... As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
That was a song from both of those from cartoons that I watched when I was a boy. William Tell Overture. I'm Dr. Ray Grandy. Thanks for joining me here. All righty. Let's see where we're going to go. Irene from Massachusetts is calling. She has a daughter who doesn't know how to tell the truth. Well, she does. She does know how to tell the truth. Unless she has a serious mental disturbance, she does know how to tell the truth. Hi, Irene.
Hey, Dr. Ray.
Now, this daughter of yours, this was your phrasing, who doesn't know how to tell the truth. What you're meaning to say is she lies.
Yes, about everything. Yeah.
How long has this been going on?
Since she could talk.
Okay. So about we're just getting around to handling it, huh?
No, we've been through a lot of different counselors, therapists, you name it. We've been there since about 5 years old.
Is she still seeing one?
We just started with someone new this month.
Well, you see, that definitely limits anything I can tell you. Because I can't weigh in, I can't give any thoughts if you're seeing a professional. Obviously, because the professional is going to be much, much, much more aware of the dynamics and what's going on. I can ask you a couple questions. Is the professional willing to also see you and give you guidance?
Yes, half the time. She said, I'd rather see you and your husband and to help you.
That's, in my opinion, that's a great direction.
Good.
I typically do not see difficult, oppositional, even antisocial adolescents. I do not see them. They are a very, very low success case. Very low. For lots of reasons. I work with the parents. I'll get a lot of parents coming in, like you, who say, what do we do now? This stuff's been going on forever. We've never gotten a grip on it. We don't know how to handle it. She's 4 months away from being 18. She's just basically out of control. What do we do? So I'll work with the parent. I find that trying to have your 17-year-old daughter come into my office and spend an hour basically telling me everything that's wrong with you, and how you are wretched human beings that are psychos, and then I turn around and charge you for that, just ain't right.
Right. Well, she's willing to see us as a family.
That's
on
great.
The opposite time, so.
I think that's great. I wish I could give you more, Irene. Sorry, dear.
That's okay.
I do have a book. I don't know if you're aware of it. I have a book called Good Discipline, Great Teens. It is 70 of the most common discipline questions I get asked. It covers respect. It covers technology. It covers relationships. It covers friends. It covers academics. It covers chores for teenagers. It's on my website. You go to drray.com. All the books there are signed. So the, hopefully
Good
that would help you. Great Teens. Great Teens. Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
I was going to title it Good Discipline, Great Ray, but I thought, no, my publisher said that's a little bit showy.
That's a little bit too much.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Thank you, dear, for the call.
You're welcome.
All righty. I'll talk to you. Bye. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Okay, this is delicate. If you have children listening, I'm going to give you a countdown to either turn the radio off. Now, I know what's going to happen. My viewing listening audience is going to be cut in half down to 60 people. I will use euphemisms in describing the situation best we can, but it is something that with younger children, you might not want to have to deal with the questions they would raise. So I'll give you a little countdown here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The call is from Susan in northern Wisconsin. Hi, Susan. Thanks
Dr.
for calling.
Ray,
thank you for
Yeah, you're thanks
welcome.
For taking my call.
Sure.
Tough subject, but I appreciate your intro. And I've been married for 20 years, and in the last maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, my libido has gone down, and it's becoming an issue in our marriage. A lot of tension, a lot of sense from my husband that he's not being validated, and I get that. And there are also issues relative to our Catholic faith, and when I prepare for confession, there are certain things that are kind of a requirement in our marriage now that seem to be a mortal sin. And I really feel like we're in between a rock and a hard place. And it's really hard to live under these circumstances because it's having a grave effect on our relationship.
You say the last 8 years, your desire has dropped radically. Is that...
Yeah, I'm 63.
Okay, so that is age. That is perhaps he wants you to do things physically you not permitted to do from your Catholic morality. Is that true?
I'm not... Well, yeah, I guess you'd say that. You know, when I prepare for confession and I look at the list of things that are not acceptable, you know, we're right up there. And,
okay.
You know, I don't want to be in a position to choose my faith over my husband because that's sometimes, that sounds a little bit extreme. But frankly, you know, in my black and white way of looking at life, and yes, I do that. I recognize I've got issues of my own. But
you are obliged.
I just got to live.
You are obliged to follow your church's teaching on these matters. You can't be made to do something immoral, quote unquote, even for the sake of peace in your marriage. You can't do that. So mm-hmm. You're right there. However, I would guess that you have some flexibility in getting closer together again. So you'd have to look at several things. One is, of course, is he willing to be affectionate, to do the kinds of things to make you feel loved, respected, honored, all of those things? Many times a woman will
say yes.
Okay, well, that's good. Because many times a woman will say, hey, forget it. You know, I'm just a vehicle. So that's great. Okay, that's one. Two.
Sometimes I do feel like a vehicle, though, to be honest with you.
Well, that's because you're probably being you're being pushed to do things that morally you can't do.
Oh, okay.
If you weren't being pushed to do that, if you could just be together in a good, chaste way, then you probably wouldn't feel so much that way. Now, in about 10 seconds, the music's going to start. So what I will do here is I'm going to hold you over. Just stay there.
All right, great.
Not gone anywhere.
Thanks.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So Dr. Ray, the number is 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get on to the program. I missed that music by about 3 seconds. I'm just getting really sloppy in my performance. I know Andrew Krucek, he's keeping track of all this. He's going to go to my boss, Al Cresta, and say, you know, Ray's slipping. Ray is just flat out slipping. Did we lose that call, Andrew? Did she leave? What happened? All right, we'll find out about it on the break.
Is your parish on fire? What I mean is it a place where the people in the pews are in love with Jesus Christ and want to make him loved? If your parish suddenly got deleted, would your local community in town even notice? The Catholic Church has always emphasized that the parish is meant to be the center of evangelization, where the sacraments are not only dispensed, but actively received and celebrated. This is why I designed a one-night parish mission called Recharge. There's no cost to the parish. Anyone can come, especially inactive Catholics. Recharge is a mix of evangelization, catechesis, and an open Q&A session where you can blast away with hard questions and get practical, biblical, actionable answers. Find out more at patrickcoffin.net/recharge. That's patrickcoffin.net/recharge. This is Patrick Coffin. Be a saint. What else is there?
What is the essence of the fourth commandment? In ordering us to honor our mother and our father, the Lord God has willed that after him we should revere our parents, to whom we owe life and who have handed on to us the knowledge of God. The Catholic Catechism says the fourth commandment shows us the order of charity. It introduces the subsequent commandments concerned with special respect for life, marriage, earthly goods, and speech. It constitutes one of the foundations of the social doctrines of the Church. It is expressed specifically to children regarding their relationships to their parents because it is the most universal. But it also involves ties of kinship to the extended family and encompasses duties to elders, ancestors, pupils to teachers, employees to employers, citizens to their country, and to those who govern it. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarini here. Thank you so much for joining me. My friend Philip down in Birmingham says that I'm pronouncing those difficult words right, and I sent him a little text. I said he's very good at persiflage. That's what I say. I'm talking to Susan. Delicate subject, and if you're just coming to the phone, again, I'm going to give you a few seconds to shoo the kids. If you don't want to answer certain questions, I'm pretty skilled at using euphemism. However, the message, the call, could be something that you just don't want to bring up at this point with your kids. It's nothing impure. It's nothing wrong. It is just a grown-up marital topic. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Susan says, for the last 8 years or so in their 20-year marriage, she's had a lot of trouble with wanting to be with her husband. She's also had great conflicts regarding certain things her husband would like to do when they are together because it is against her understanding and the church's teaching. He apparently doesn't have the same moral compunctions. Does she do? She says that he is more than willing to be loving and caring, showing her that he really wants to be with her in a very, very close way. So this is not something where she says she feels used. But then she qualified that. She said, well, no, sometimes I do feel used. And I think, and she agreed, it was because of the things that he wanted to do extraneous to the marital act. Susan, are you there?
Yeah, that's good, right. Dr. Ray. Thanks.
Thank you, dear. So, given all that, what have you been told by any priest that you've talked to?
Appreciate that question. Basically, I just went to a reconciliation last week, and the priest said, you know, don't focus on that part of the marriage so much. Look at the other aspects of the marriage that are as important as the sexual aspect. So no one has said to me straight away, you know, if you do X, Y, Z, you're going to go to hell. But they don't, you know, I haven't really gotten any direct. I mean, I know that if I were to look at the theology of the body, I have those books. I don't even want to read them because I'm afraid of what I'm going to read. The problem is, Dr. Ray, my husband doesn't have the same, you know, view of the faith as I do. So he thinks I'm basically going to become a nun, and he thinks that we are beginning to live as brother and sister. And that is totally freaking him out.
Well, do you want that?
No.
Would you feel content to say, well, if we live as brother and sister, that's fine with me. I got no problems with that.
That feels very weird. It feels wrong to even think that. It is not correct. It is not the right thing for a marriage. It's not good.
Okay. Then I got some direct ideas for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
If you've already done this, forgive me for being redundant. I hate to engage in superfluous pleonasm. There's one for you, Phil. Okay. Sit down with your husband and say, I don't like the direction this has gone. I don't like it at all. And I don't want you to think that I'm happy and satisfied with this, because I'm not.
Good.
So you're gonna take away the idea that, well, my wife, this is all just cover. She just doesn't want to be with me. She doesn't find me appealing.
Right.
She doesn't want anything to do with me. This is what's happening. This is what I got after 20 years. You want to take that away from him, okay? As best you can,
yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
If he allows
yes.
it. Two, you say, I cannot go against what I believe is God's instruction about a chaste marital bed through his church. I can't do that. That's the one place I can't go. However,
okay.
However, here is what I promise you. I will do much to be warmer, to be more willing, to be more receptive together. I will do that. Let's enjoy
okay.
each other. Let's be together. I will no longer say to myself, well, if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to be with you. Because if you do that, you'll never be with him.
Right. Bingo.
Exactly. Well, that's what you've been doing.
Correct.
Well, I don't feel like
it's
it, so therefore,
right.
so therefore I'm not going to. No, don't do that. If he commits to you not to push you to go against your deepest morality, then in fact, you promise him that you won't live according to the I don't want to. And I'll tell you this, Susan, this is something you can maybe look down the road forward to. When people stay away from being together, it just becomes easier and easier for some to stay away from being together.
I totally, totally agree. Totally.
I'm not used to a woman agreeing with me this much. Okay. Starting to unsettle me here. So when they find that if in fact they act against their momentary reluctance, I don't want to. I just don't feel like it. I don't want to. They find that afterwards that wasn't gee, that wasn't so bad. In fact, it was kind of nice. And they turned the whole thing around. And that's what you've not done.
Yeah.
You've basically
Correct.
Said, man, you told me I'm right about six times.
I know, but I needed to hear it from somebody else. I mean, this is good. But I want to ask you one last question. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your time. What is the expectation for the church then when people get older and physical things change in our bodies? I mean, are we just supposed to not?
Well, no, you are perfectly, perfectly welcome to have normal relations, of course. That can be.
Okay, if it's physically not possible for what, for the male, then.
Well, he is permitted to do something, to take something that will make it more able.
Okay.
If there's a reduced blood flow or something like that. Okay,
that's, gotcha. I understand what you're saying. Okay, Catholic
moral teaching.
Okay. Right. Okie dokie.
All right.
All right.
Good luck there, honey.
This is the best. This is the best. Thanks a lot for your time today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye. Now, I see Andrew Krucek is not going to take that one. This is the best. This is the best. He won't use that as a bumper. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, he'll use the ones where somebody says, you really missed it. So far off. Dr. Ray, I'll be right back.
What is the evidence for the existence of God? How can faith and science coexist? How can something come from nothing? Cosmic questions that still elude the mind of man. Philosopher and theologian Father Robert Spitzer ignites an infinite discourse. At the intersection of faith and reason, we invite you to explore Father Spitzer's universe.
Friday, 8 p.m. and Sunday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Thank you for joining me here. I'm Dr. Ray Guarini. The program Doctor is in Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock. I got a couple up here I want to get to. I'm going to try to get to both of them. Anonymous from Iowa is getting together with a family for the 4th of July. Her friend's daughter is coming over. Reed daughter coming over, who is bringing her wife. All kids are over 10 years old. Anonymous is saying, okay, how do I talk to my children about this? Hi, Anonymous. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Well, how old are your kids?
Well, my kids are 5, 6, and 10, and this is actually, it's her girlfriend. They just had their 6-month anniversary. She just got done with her freshman year of college. When she went off to college, her Facebook was all about how much she loved her boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden last week there was an announcement about this girlfriend, which threw some of us for a loop.
Did Do you think that she's going to come to the party and parade the relationship?
I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, I know she's bringing her. I was surprised she's bringing anybody because she's never brought any. They live out of town. She's never brought anybody with her for these 4th of July festivities before. And this is like my parents. So it's one of my good friends from high school. It's his daughter, and our parents get together, and now our kids. And she's always been wonderful with my kids. They look forward to seeing her all the time. She plays great with them. And I know she's super worried about how we are all going to react as well. I just don't know how to address it with my kids. I don't know. She's never brought anybody, a boy or a girl.
Do you trust her do you trust her to kind of respect you as a parent and not wanting to introduce this topic to your kids yet, so that in fact she'll just say, this is my friend, and there won't be anything that would indicate that it's beyond friendship? Do you trust that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's something that
is there any way you can find out?
Have a conversation.
Can you call her? Can you call her? You say, I really want to know. This is something that my kids wouldn't understand, and I'm not sure the 5-year-old and the 6-year-old is even anything I want to even try to explain to them. So what is your intent?
My 6-year-old has zero tact. So if she sees something, she'll say it. It'll be weird.
I would find out, first of all, what she intends to do. And if she says, no, this is in fact in my relationship, and I'm proud of it, and people are going to know it, and I'm going to announce it. Well, then I think she's not respecting your view about this for your children. At that point, I may say, it's up to you, but I may say, well, I'm going to leave the two younger ones with someone else. The 10-year-old, I'll explain it and simply say, God says that a relationship is between a man and a woman. Some people don't believe that. This person is one of them. And she has a friend that she says she wants to be with and date. That's her decision, but that's not how we believe God taught us. That's what I'd say.
Okay, great. Right. Thank you so much.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Bye. Let's just see. This is from Jamie Dubuque. I just got a call from the folks in Dubuque to come out there and their big, big banquet. Get a chance to talk with them. It's down the road. It's a ways down the road, 7-8 months, but Tom has called me out there. Jamie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, now tell me what your understanding is.
Okay, my understanding, because I can so identify with that woman, it's amazing. And I to tell you the truth, I think at the end there you kind of missed the boat.
Oh, great. Just what you just said right now, Andrew's going to take that and put that in a bumper. I know it. I know him.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, way to go.
Well, I can only say that because I'm in her position as well. My husband is now a self-declared atheist, and sex is just that. It's nothing. And, yes, I do feel like a vehicle. But my understanding is that when our fertility has played itself out, so to speak, just about anything goes.
That's not true.
Between a man and a woman, because there
no.
is not the possibility
no.
of conception.
No.
I've heard this from several, I've heard this from priests and from people that I really respect.
Maybe you misunderstood it, which means that relations at any time are fine, but certain types of behavior within the bedroom would not be. I can't comment on what you were told, and it's late in the program. I've got about a minute left, so I would invite someone who is very, very aware of this. But my understanding is absolutely no, that indeed you can have relations at any time as long as they're within the church's teaching for chaste relationships. I think that's maybe a misunderstanding. You check on that, Jamie, and then you call me back if you can. Okay? Thank you. This is Dr. Oh, wait a minute. Well, I cut that short. I looked at the clock wrong. Jamie said that she had been told this from several priests. Now, I don't know, obviously, the context in all that. And I don't know if we have a priest listening who would like to call and weigh in. We're going to go off the air here in about 40 seconds, but you could still call. And Andrew or Eric can relate this to me after we go off the air. But I'm pretty sure that certain acts are not permitted, even though that there isn't a chance for procreation after menopause. I'm Dr. Ray, and I thank you so much for being with me, and I thank my crew, as I do my crew check, Andrew Krucek, producer man, and Eric Dumont, call screamer man, making the program run. And, of course, you who make the program totally doable. Appreciate it all. Walk with God. Hold your kids tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.